Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to the Sports Docket with Ace Man and the Cross, the best sports radio show on Blog Talk Radio.
Big gap in left center field.
Everybody playing very deep as right hits one deep to left field. Headley back near the wall. It's out of here! The Mets win the ball game! David Wright with a two-out, two-run walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth. And the Mets win it 5-3.
Puck controlled, but Devils unable to clear. Diving play by Girardi to keep it in. Shanahan to Girardi. In front, just missed by Gomez, who was cutting to the net. Tootin kept it in. Girardi to Gomez. He scores! Scotty Gomez! It's a power play goal! Rangers lead 1-0.
Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
Oh my God. This ball's thrown and Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player. Harrison trying to knock it down. And Eli, man, I don't know how he got out of there. I thought he was on the ground and then he came out of the pile and just slings it.
Live from Lynbrook and Brooklyn, New York, this is the Sports Docket Radio Show with Ace Man and the Quas on Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to episode 48 of the Sports Docket with Ace Man and the Quas right here on blogtalkradio.com/docket. Once again, back with you for this Sunday night, November 2nd, 2008. November is underway. Of course, you got the election day, the historic election, coming up on November 4th. And currently, Ace Man not with me, but I'll be going solo until he comes on. Of course, we got the big interview. Brian Bassett of thejetsblog.com and SNY.tv is on the line right now. And we'll get right into this Jets game. A big win today for the New York Jets, 26-17 over the Buffalo Bills, tying them in the standings in the AFC East. It's an honor and privilege once again to welcome Brian Bassett of the Jets blog and also of SNY TV back to the program. Brian, can we say it was the Jets defense and Jay Feely that provided the spark today instead of Brett Favre?
Yeah, you know, it was a wild game. And, you know, watching the first half, I wasn't sure if the Jets were trying to give away another one, but you know, the defense really stood strong in the first half, and things kind of came around for them, early in the game, and then they held on to it late. But yeah, Jay Feely was good. He had a lot of kicks. There was that one shakedown in the first half, I believe, that was not so good. But other than that, yeah, it was a great game by the defense in the game.
Definitely no question about that. Obviously, you just alluded to the defense. Elam with the interception return today, making Brett Favre's job a lot easier today. I think Brett Favre only for that one touchdown in the game. Jay Feely was perfect from field goal range. Let's go over to this Bills offense. You think that Trent Edwards is starting to wear down with the young quarterback, just turned 24 on Thursday. You think he's starting to wear down a little bit with the Buffalo Bills here, and that's the reason why the Bills have lost the 4 out of 5 games?
You know, I mean, I think that's, you know, it's definitely part of it. He's a young guy, right? He's definitely learning still. I mean, you know, but any guy who, you know, Walsh, you know, thinks as highly of it as he did while he was alive, and, you know, having him at Stanford, you know, he's obviously, you know, got the ability to run an offense, to run a West Coast offense. You know, and I think you could see him potentially, you know, become another Chad Pennington type quarterback over his career where, you know, I think his maybe his better arm, but, you know, he's got that quick motion when he throws the ball. He's, you know, he's good at running field for the most part. You know, he definitely had that one interception that, you know, that was kind of forced by Chris Jenkins, you know, up front. He did a great job pressuring that there's, you know, there's other things that, that Buffalo needs to focus on. They need to focus on getting their linebackers better in the running game, and also their corners, you know, healthy as well. But yeah, I think, you know, Edwards is young and learning.
Yeah, you're talking about the running game. Bills were obviously depleted in that department today. Not a good game for Lynch. And the Jets took advantage that he was having some flu-like symptoms before the game, and the Jets' defense was able to really get on him, as well as Trent Edwards in this game. Thomas Jones with the seven-yard touchdown, so that was very impressive. You think that the little shift on the AFC, the Jets are going to ride against him from this game, as well as winning now 4 out of 5 games, and could possibly present a threat for the Patriots in that division?
I'm sorry, say that again. Kind of fade out there for a second. What?
Okay, yeah, call back in.
Oh, no, I'm good. It was fuzzy there for a second.
Okay.
But I guess I didn't hear the whole question. So what, the 4-5, the slide for the goal for?
Up so clear.
Okay, yeah, hold on, I'll call you back.
Call back in, that'd be great.
Sure.
Alright, thanks. Again, I was waiting for Brian Bass to call back in here. As we were alluding to before, we were getting into this Jets game. 26-17 went over the Bills. Jets pretty much led right from the get-go. The big play in this game was Abram Elam's 92-yard interception of Trent Edwards down the sidelines, which caused the Jets to retake the lead. I think this is Brian rejoining us right now. Brian, you're back on the air?
I am. Sorry about that. I don't know what was going on with my phone line. That was my home phone line, so that's scary.
Yeah, now you sound perfect, and sound as perfect as the Jets defense.
So I'm sorry. So I couldn't hear your question there. You said something about, what is it, the Bills sliding in 4 or 5, or what was your last question?
Well, the Bills actually lost in 3 out of 4 games. Do you think there's a change of guard in the AFC East? Or do you think the Bills are going to recover and keep pace with the Jets and Patriots?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, because they have a real tough schedule here. Kind of last week, this week, and next week, and that they had Miami last week, the Jets this week, and then they get no rest because they get the Patriots next week. So this was a real, you know, short but critical part of their schedule. And to date, you know, the Bills hadn't won against a lot of great opponents, you know, Seattle and some other teams like that. So I mean, you know, but the same was true for the Jets. They hadn't really beaten anybody that was very good either. So this is one of those things where, you know, the Bills really need to kind of come back strong and play well next week against the Patriots to stay in it. Because if they lose to the Patriots, then that's three divisional losses right there, and that's going to be hard to recover with, from no matter what the rest of your schedule looks like. So I think, you know, that this has been a real tough stretch for them, and they basically have to beat the Patriots next week to kind of stay competitive. But, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, that's why, you know, I'm always slow to make assessments, you know, after 1 week of the season or 2 weeks of the season. You never know, you know, what's going to happen. And, you know, even within, you know, the past couple of weeks, just, you know, things, everything that was down is up, and everything that's up is down.
No question about that. How long do you think the Jets are going to be relying on contributions from special teams? I mean, how long can the Jets continue with Brett Favre having these Chad Pennington-esque performances down the stretch? I mean, how long is it going to take before finally, the Jets are going to have to get better on offense before the defense doesn't play as well?
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, the Jets' special teams is always good, kind of no matter, you know, how the rest of the team plays over the past two or three years. I mean, Mike Westhoff is the one of the special teams coaches. He's one of the best in the business at that. Leon Washington just keeps getting better and better. And, you know, his ability to create field position for this team, you know, can't be discounted. I mean, it's amazing, you know, when you're starting your first drive around the 40-yard line or the 35 or whatever, you know, that's huge. That's huge. So, the special teams has been a real key component. And I think, you know, getting Mike Nugent back is going to be a big boost for this team. I mean, he's not great on kickoffs, but in terms of, you know, accuracy from up to about 45 yards, he's pretty much automatic, where I don't know how many Philly has missed offhand, but he's, you know, pretty much missing, it seems like, around one a game. So getting Nugent, their regular kicker, back will be good. But then also, right, the defense is just so improved. The run defense is amazingly improved. You know, Chris Jenkins and Calvin Pace were those last pieces that they really needed to get that defense squared away. And I think that's really, you know, what was going to kind of float the boat for this team this year. And whether Pennington was behind center, or whether it was Kellen Clemens or even Brett Favre, that, you know, that was what was going to, you know, keep them in it and keep them competitive early. But now, right, at this point, you know, can Brett Favre take control of this offense and move it kind of past what we've seen so far? But I think part of it is going to be Brett Favre is going to do what he's going to do, but, you know, he's also in a whole new system. So, you know, and he's not being that successful when he's just, you know, chucking it downfield as last week against the Chiefs proved. So I think, you know, the more he feels comfortable with this offense and the more, they're working to get him comfortable and, you know, doing a lot of the stuff he did today, you know, throwing checkdowns to Thomas Jones or whoever, you know, they're still moving the chains. They're kind of getting well, let's say. And, I mean, I think this is hopefully a point at which, you know, everything's going to start to kick in. But, you know, this offense is never going to be an offense where, you know, Favre's, you know, throwing the ball 50 yards downfield on every possession. It's just not going to be that way.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, you look at the box score for this game, and Buffalo seems to have outplayed the Jets in almost everything offensively in this game. So it obviously wasn't an offensive performance today. I mean, the Jets on third downs were 5 out of 11. That's not what you want. But the defense did come through. I mean, also, you got to mention Barton, who had 7 tackles in this game. Good job by him. Trent Edwards looks a little bit like his age, and he's obviously been a little bit fatigued down the stretch right now for the Bills. I mean, obviously, the Jets, they have momentum going right now. I mean, do you start watching the games of the Patriots yet? I mean, there's only 8 games in. Do you start watching those games, or are you just going to play them out when the Jets actually do play the Patriots?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I hope I'm going to be at the Patriots-Jets games in a couple weeks, the Thursday night game. But yeah, I mean, you have to start, you know, kind of considering, you know, what they're going to do. Because they're coming on strong and playing well, you know, even without Tom Brady. And you know, that team is built to be, you know, not – I mean, yes, it was Tom Brady, and that offense would probably be, you know, going crazy if he was in there now. But, you know, they still have a pretty good defense. They have a lot of good players around the rest of the offense. So yeah, I mean, I think the Jets, you know, as a fan, I'm definitely paying attention to what they're doing. And with a matchup just, you know, basically a week and a half away now, absolutely you have to pay attention to what they're doing, because now we're getting into the meat of the schedule. And maybe, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of football left to be played, but, you know, it could be a three-horse race. But, you know, if the Bills lose again next week, you know, it could start to close in just to those two teams, the Jets and the Patriots.
And the Colts just got to win that game tonight if they want to stay in the playoff race. I mean, if they lose, they'll fall to 3-5. So they definitely have to beat the Patriots tonight to stay in the race. You pretty much, you know, on the JetsBlog.com, your keys to the game, you pretty much covered everything. You pretty much were on target with with what happened in this game, you know, with special teams and turnovers. And Jets turnovers are obviously a big problem for Brett Favre. He had a fumble today. I mean, how do you in practice, how do you eliminate the turnovers that go into the game, or is it just a game time decision or a game time action?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the one fumble that he did have, which I think Leon Washington recovered, and that was a function of the center, you know, snapping a little low to him. I mean, it was kind of right at his knee or below. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's, you know, that's probably a communication thing where those two, you know, Brett Favre and his center Nick Mangold are probably still, you know, working out some of the kinks. But you know, it's definitely between those two, it's definitely gotten better since week one. So I think, right, that's just more a level of familiarity. And then you know, the one pick that he did have, it was an odd call, the first down call, I think, and he threw towards the sidelines when they should be grinding the clock and you know, into, I can't remember if it was double coverage, but it was, yeah, it was an odd play and just one of those things where, you know, you have to say, well, you're going to get some of this with Brett Favre. But I think what I did see today from the offensive game plan was they limited, or he limited himself. I don't know, it must have been a joint effort between him and the coaching, where he limited himself and he threw some balls away and he did some things that I haven't seen him do over the past couple weeks. And playing within himself, you know, won them the game. If he had been, you know, hauling off when he was, you know, under pressure and, you know, throwing it into double coverage or stuff that he's done in weeks past, I mean, that game could have easily been lost. But yeah, you talked about statistics earlier. The one thing that was, you know, so amazing was the two drives by the Bills early in the game where they were on the field for like 15 minutes straight, basically with the Abram Elam interception in the middle there. But I mean, the Jets, you know, they forced, you know, 7 points their way by getting that interception, and then, you know, the Bills drove all the way down to like the 8 yard line, and then they stopped them and turned it over on downs, which was, you know, on fourth down, fourth and one, I think, which was unbelievable. And to see the defense kind of, you know, straighten up their back and stand tall after being on the field that long was pretty impressive.
You know, and getting to Brett Favre's mentality being with the Jets, obviously in the beginning of the season we were talking about his communication with Kotchery and a couple other receivers on the field. I mean, I got to think Brett Favre is a lot happier being in New York than going up against that undefeated Tennessee Titans defense today. I got to think Brett Favre is, you know, I'm not sure how much he's enjoying playing in New York, but I got to think he's going along for the ride.
Yeah, it was a better day for him to play the Bills than to play Tennessee. Absolutely, but yeah, he's got Tennessee. They've got Tennessee in a couple weeks, you know. So they're not totally, you know, out of the picture. That the Jets will be playing Tennessee later this month. I think, I can't remember the exact date, but yeah. So Tennessee, the Jets are going to go up against Tennessee sooner or later. So someday that, you know, that Bill's going to come due. But you're right. I mean, it was definitely a thing where I think, you know, it was kind of an odd way that things worked out. And one of the things that really stuck out to me that Favre said when he came to the team was he said, you know, I didn't want to talk to the Jets because I was afraid, or kind of knew once I talked to them, I would be convinced to go there. And I certainly can identify with what he's saying. But it's one of those things where it's like, well, I guess he just really wanted to play, you know, in a Packers uniform first and really thought that was going to work out. But, you know, I think it this next 8 weeks is really going to determine, you know, whether he comes back next year or whether he walks away, because it's not been an easy ride for him the first half of the season.
In terms of, you know, the injury report with the Jets, do we have any updates on any of the injuries going into this game? I mean, with Chris Baker and Mike Nugent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Chris Baker played today. He played all right. He had a couple gaffes during the game, but he did play and played decently. So I think what happened to him last week, they said it was just kind of like a flare up of must have been like a hip pointer or something like that, where basically, you know, he pulled something or just, you know, was feeling some pain. So they rested him for the game. As far as Mike Nugent, it's really just a black cloud. No one knows anything. It was a thing where, you know, initially it seemed like it was a hamstring injury, and they didn't put him on the injured reserve, which would make you think, well, gee, he's going to be back in 4, 5, 6 weeks. And now, right, we're in week 9, and he hasn't played since the first game of the season. So you'd hope it's going to happen pretty soon, but really no updates are given. The way you'll know whether he's coming back is because Jay Feely's burning that roster spot. So once they cut Feely, and that'll probably be on a, they'll generally announce that like on a Tuesday. So if Nugent's going to play this weekend, Feely will be cut on a Tuesday.
Okay, and also with Justin Miller, the cornerback, obviously, the Jets want to have him back in the starting lineup with that defense rejuvenated.
Yeah, Justin Miller, I mean, has basically been inactive most of the season. He was active last week. But he's really been kind of the odd man out with Dwight Lowry now in the picture, number 34, who he's young and he's brash and he's making some great plays and he's making some terrible mistakes. But I guess the organization feels that they've got a better option in him than Justin Miller. And Miller's basically just kind of languishing on this team, and he'll probably go to free agency. Possibly without even an offer, even though I think he's a restricted free agent for the Jets.
And let's get back to Brett Favre a little bit. I saw a lot of fun talk about Brett Favre. It seemed that every third down in this game, incomplete pass. I mean, I don't know where he was throwing the football. He was overthrowing. He was underthrowing. He was too short. I mean, is it because he doesn't know the receivers too well yet, or is there just some added pressure, I mean, playing these kind of divisional games?
Yeah, I mean, I think the division is definitely, a part of it. I think there's some familiarity, that he's still, working on with his receivers and miscommunications there. I mean, you think of last week he threw an interception across the middle of the field, and it's up in the air as to what should have happened there, but Chancey Stuckey, the intended receiver, basically said it was a route we ran earlier in the game. They recognized it, and they jumped it. So he hit basically, what he said is, I ran my route, I didn't call the play, and, that's on the offensive coordinator. Mangini basically came back and said, no, that was Chancey Stuckey's fault. He should have known better on that play or whatever. And then today I saw a play where I can't remember, they were down in the red zone, and Favre was looking to Dustin Keller, his rookie tight end, and it was just a short, maybe 3 or 4 yard pass to get a first down, and Keller didn't turn around in time, and the ball kind of bounced off his hip, and Favre was talking to him and saying, on that kind of play, you have to have your eyes in the back of your head and get down there quick and turn around. You could see him on the sideline kind of motioning what he should have done. So I mean, there's clearly still some area of improvement for these guys, but I think when it comes to Kotchery and Coles, his primary targets, they're pretty much on the same page at this point and can figure out what the other's doing.
Brian Bassett, the Jets blog and SNY TV, joining us right now for a few more moments here on the Sports Docket with DeQuoth. Let's go around a little bit with the AFC. Obviously, you have the Titans, who are probably going to wrap that division up by week 12. You look at the AFC North, you got the two top teams, Steelers and Ravens. You look at the AFC West, one of the worst divisions ever assembled. Let's talk a little bit about AFC versus NFC. Do you kind of see the NFC, especially with the Giants winning the Super Bowl last year, NFC maybe a little bit changing the guard here, becoming maybe the stronger conference?
It's one of those things. It's I always find it like so hard. It's like it's like when you're in the middle of a project or something and you can't really see kind of all the the high-level details of stuff.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. I never know, what it's going to be. But I mean, I guess just what I've seen, I've definitely seen, an assertive dominance from the NFC this year, especially the NFC East, the Cowboys are, falling off the face of the earth. But the Redskins and the Eagles are, looking strong. And, I mean, the Giants, of course, are awesome. And then the NFC South has been pretty good for the most part. You definitely have some stronger teams. But I think a lot of the uncertainty that people feel about the AFC comes from guys like Peyton Manning, comes from guys like Tom Brady, and you know, kind of their early season play. So I, you know, it looks like Peyton Manning's you know, a lot healthier now than he was 2 months ago, and you know, and Matt Castle is you know, starting to come along in the you know, with his team. So I would say, you know, I mean I think, you know, earlier in the season it looked like if you were to, you know, power rank the top five teams, you know, probably three of them or four of them were NFC teams. And I think by the end of the season, it'll even out more. It'll be, you know, kind of two of one and three of the other. So I think by the end of the season, everything will even out.
And I guess you have to throw Kerry Collins, in, of all people, into that mix.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, back from the dead, right? You know, and that's, you know, exactly what the Titans need. I mean, they have a fantastic, you know, defense. I mean, amazing defense. They've had a great defense for like 3 years. But unfortunately, they never got noticed because their offense was so awful. So now that, you know, they've got an offense that can run the ball, a great offensive line, and all you need is a guy who can complete some passes for, you know, on third down. You know, that's all they need, really, and that's what exactly what they have. They have a dependable quarterback, and they're playing well.
And not to mention easy schedule and good defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that defense has just been stifling, and, you know, their defense coordinator, Jim Schwartz, if Jim Schwartz does not get a job as a head coach somewhere this offseason, I would be very surprised because he's deserved it.
Declan, let's go, I guess, the rest of the Jets season going forward here. I mean, the next, obviously, this is the midway point. As a Jets fan, you got to be more than satisfied after last year, 5-3 record. You got to be pretty happy with what you got through your first eight. How many of the next eight? I mean, just speculating. Can you see the Jets winning? Do you see an improvement, pretty much the same thing, or going downhill?
Yeah, well, you know, they had a couple cake weeks here, and you know, the thing that really threw me was the Raiders. They lost to the Raiders, who are an awful, just awful team, and then, you know, kind of pepper in, you know, struggling a little bit early versus the Bengals, and, you know, struggling with the Chiefs last week. So it was really like, you know, they can't even beat the teams, or they have a real hard time beating the teams that they need to beat, let alone, you know, let alone try and go out and beat a team like the Bills or the Patriots or whoever. So kind of based on what they have left of their schedule, I mean, they have, you know, they have next week.
Primetime lights.
Sorry, what?
I said primetime lights against the Eagles.
Yeah. So they, you know, they have the Pats in a week and a half. They have the Rams, I think, this weekend. So they have an easy game this weekend, and then a short week against the Patriots away, which is kind of like a perfect storm for a loss. They have Tennessee, they have Denver, and then they have, you know, Seattle and Miami and a couple other, you know, teams, and the Bills again, I guess. So I mean, they have a tough schedule left, a lot of tough football to play. But I mean, I think, you know, having gone 5-3 the way they have so far, you know, losses to the Patriots, the losses to the Chargers, and losses to the Raiders, you know, I think they could go another 5-3. But you know, it's all provided on. Sorry.
It's a knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. Exactly. Knock on. But you know, they could go 5-3. You know, if Favre can keep turnovers to a minimum. And that's, you know, that's going to be the difference. If they can just play straight, you know, steady football, they can go 5-3, no problem.
Are we going to see any of those 56-point game down the stretch for the Jets?
Well, now that it's getting a little colder, I doubt it. I doubt it. I mean, that was...
Favre likes the cold weather. I mean, he loves cold weather.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. He's used to playing in the cold.
There's a big difference between, Giant Stadium cold and Lambeau Field cold.
Right, yeah. So I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, the difference is, and it's also a track. You know, they're playing on turf.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that affects things, if it makes it easier, but anyway, I think, you know, right. He does like cold weather, but you know, once the cold weather comes, generally offenses tend to not air it out so much and, you know, focus a little bit more on the run. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of one of those things where I think that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And that was actually, as a little aside, that was the first – I've been to a bunch of Jets games over the history of time, and more in the past, like, you know, 3-4 years. But that was the first game I've ever been to where they actually won, and that was quite a satisfying first win for me. So
definitely,
so
definitely.
So the curse was broken, and it was one hell of a game. So that was fun.
No questions. Go a couple more then. Before I let you go here, let's just get a prediction. Next week's game is going to be the NBC, the Sunday night, the whole thing. Jets-Eagles.
The Eagles? I think they're playing the Rams next week.
Oh, my bad, Rams, excuse me. Yep, so they play the Rams.
Oh, no, that's no problem. So they play the Rams next weekend, and I think that, yeah, that's at home. So, you know, the Rams are looking better. I mean, they're definitely looking better, you know, since Jim Haslett has stepped in and their defense is stepping up a little bit. Their offense is playing more consistent. But, I mean, I still think the Jets have a pretty solid chance of winning that game, so I'll go ahead and say, let's see, Jets 27, Rams 17.
Well, I got to apologize there. I was looking at the Giants schedule. The Giants playing the Eagles.
Do you want a prediction on that? I don't know anything other than one of my good.
I think the Giants are going to crush the Eagles. I'm going to say, well, I hate the Phillies, so I hate the Eagles. So I'm going to say 35-17, kind of like today's game. But,
nice.
All right, Brian, always a pleasure. Good luck with Jets Blog. Good luck with the SNY TV gig, everything. We hope to see you down the stretch. Hope to see you in the postseason.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No problem, Brian. Always great with you.
Okay, bye.
See you later. Brian Bassett, of course, of SNY TV and the Jets Blog. We'll take a quick break here on the Sports Talk, Ace on the Quas, and then joining us after the break will be a special fill-in co-host, Matt Pignataro of 7 Train to Shea Radio Show, will join me to fill in for the final 30 minutes. Also, your call, 646-478-5118, and you can also aim me on the side to go talk to Quas. We'll be right back after this on the Sports Docket with Ace Man and the Quas. Mr. Quas currently on right now.
He popped him up. He's going to get it. Rocious down from third. Rocious makes the catch. Ball game over. A perfect game. A perfect game for David Cone.
There is Deal. Fastball hit in the air to left field. That's deep. That goes Chavez back near the wall. Leaping, and he made the catch. He took a home run away from Rowland. Trying to get back to first Edmund. He's doubled off. And the inning is over.
Broken back. Foul ball off the right side. And the barrel of the bat came out to Clemens, and he picks it up and throws it back. And Piazza's walking out toward the mound. And now the home plate umpire, Charlie Rutherford, gets in between them. Piazza points to himself, and so does Clemens.
In the air to deep right field. That ball headed toward the wall. That ball is out of here! Out of here! A game-winning grand slam home run off the bat of Robin Ventura.
Drive in the air to center field. Timo Perez jumps in the air, waiting for it to come down. Makes the catch, and the New York Mets are the 2000 National League champions.
Giambi on his way to third, and they're going to wave him around. The throw misses a cutoff man, shoved into the plate, out of the plate. Derek Jeter with one of the most unbelievable plays you will ever see by a shortstop.
And the 0-1 swung on, head in the air to deep center. Bernie back, away back. He's there. He makes the catch. Ball game over. World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Is Aaron Boone to lead off? His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series. Aaron Boone has hit a home run.
Behind the net. Sweet to the crutch. He's down. Metto.
And the Rangers have one more hill to climb, baby. But it's Mark Vancouver. The Rangers are headed to the final.
Once again, it'll be a 3-2. The stretch and pitch, swung on and popped up again. Off third, Hayes has room. Hayes makes the catch. Yankees win. The Yankees win. The New York Yankees have won the 1996 World Series.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25.
And McTavish with 1:06. Puck is dropped. McTavish controls. And it's all over. The New York Rangers have won the Stanley Cup. Something that most people did not think they would hear in their lifetime.
Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Your source for all New York sports.
Hello, Mets fans. You're looking for a show that covers the Mets inside and out? And there's a show for you. The 7 Train to Shane Mets Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Join Matt, Greg, Mike, and special guests all season long with inside analysis on games, news, rumors, the minor leagues, and more. Voice your opinion or ask a question by calling into the show. For up to the latest Mets news, rumors, opinions, and show schedules, visit our website at www.7traintoshay.blogspot.com. For Mets fans, by Mets fans, it's a 7 Train to Shay Mets radio show. Now back to the sports docket with Ace Man and the Quads.
Back here on the sports docket, 9:36 p.m. on a Sunday night, and here he is, Matt Pignataro.
Quas, thanks for having me on. I was going to say, that guy did sound a little familiar in that last commercial.
That was you. That was, of course, with the 7 Train to Shay. Did a show earlier, talk about Manny Ramirez, and we'll get a little bit into that later on the show. We talk about sports so much, don't get to talk about other stuff. Well, how's college? How's everything doing with that? I know you're at East Washington University. What's college like?
It's a lot different from high school. A lot different. The nice thing is I have class that starts at 11, so I get to sleep in mostly every day. It has its up and its downs. I remember, a week ago or so, I was working on a paper that lasts me till, I think I spent like maybe 12 hours total on it, matter of 2 days. I got a 4.0 out of it, but I worked my butt off to achieve that. But, I mean, it's going good. It's a lot different from high school. You're meeting a lot of new people. I got baseball, so I'm just busy jumping from class to class, schoolwork, and then baseball practice. But I'm enjoying my time there.
No question about that. We'll get into, I guess we'll start with the football here. I don't know how much you get to follow out there. I mean, it's probably Seattle Seahawks Nation or Mariners Nation, whatever is going on out there. You want to talk about today's game, the New York Giants. I mean, impressive win over the Cowboys, just crushed them today. I mean, Brad Johnson was even taken out of this game, and they put Bollinger in there. So, I mean, the Giants, 7-1. I mean, we talk about in baseball, that would be equivalent to like the start the Tampa Bay Rays had going this year. I mean, the Giants really, the Super Bowl champion starts 7-1 the next season. I mean, it could be the start of a dynasty here in New York.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 7-1, Manning. 3 touchdowns today. I mean, who would have thought coming off a Super Bowl win? I thought this team would be struggling, Quas, even though I'm a Jets fan. I do like the Giants, too, not like a Mets Yankees fan. But, I thought the Giants would be struggling, a Super Bowl hangover, if you will. They traded Shockey away. I don't know how Boss would respond, and he had a touchdown today. I mean, Jacobs running the ball, I mean, an average of 6.9 yards a carry. That's pretty good for a running back. So, I mean, and the Cowboys, I don't know, I kind of want to
get them. They're washed up.
I agree, and also they have Brad Johnson, which I got a nickname for him, if you want to use this, Brad Statue of Liberty Johnson, basically just stands there, not mobile anyways.
At all, yeah.
Yeah, and they put him Bollinger. I mean, he's more mobile than Brad Johnson, but still, I mean, the Cowboys, it didn't change. The reason why the Cowboys are struggling right now is they haven't changed the game plan. They're still having that Tony Romo game plan that they have. They got to switch it up. Brad Johnson is not Tony Romo. Bollinger is not Tony Romo. They don't have the same arm strength or mobility that Romo brings to the table.
I think that's why. Marion Barber a little bit more in the running game. I mean, they used Terrell Owens today. He actually had a fumble in the game. He only had five receptions, 36 yards. Ugly game for Terrell Owens. Of course, the Giants' defense covered him well, but I mean, the Giants' defense is not a good measuring stick for the Cowboys' offense. And when the Cowboys continue down the stretch this year, they're going to need to find ways to get the ball on the running, on the rushing game a little bit more than the receiving game, because obviously Bollinger and Brad Johnson are no Tony Romo.
No, definitely not. And
Tony Romeo, I should say.
Romeo, that's a good one. I mean, the Giants' defense, like you said, you know, did well today, where they have, I mean, three interceptions today, well, because of the quarterbacks there. But, I mean, they looked good. I mean, you know, with the injuries that they've had to Uyunglele and all that, I mean, Sammy Knight, he's old as heck, five tackles today. I mean, look at the guys, if you look at the tackles right here, Clark, Johnson, Cofield, these are, you know, not your top defensive playmakers. You know, these are more of the, I guess, the second string special teams guys, but they, you know, had a lot of tackles today, and, you know, I'm pretty impressed with them. I had this team starting in my fantasy football league for defense, so I'm pretty happy.
You got it.
With the performance they had today.
Yeah, Giants blowing out the Cowboys, continuing to struggle. Giants are going to win that division. I mean, I was talking with Brian Bassett about the Tennessee Titans in the AFC, and I was saying that they may have that division locked up, but the AFC South, but by week 12, the Giants could very much do the same thing if the Eagles and Redskins hold up their part and lose along with the Cowboys. I mean, the Giants are just going to be running away with that division and could be the team to beat. Well, they are the team to beat, but could be everybody's going to fear them going into the wild card and divisional games in the postseason.
Yeah, I hope so too. Hope they continue staying hot throughout the postseason. You know, like you just said, it looks like they're going to win their division. They're going to have that bye in the first round. Hopefully, hopefully that momentum that they carry in doesn't, you know, wash away. But also the Cowboys last year, the Giants were hot. Cowboys had that bye week, and, you know, look what happens. The Giants have a ring on their finger, and the Cowboys don't.
Yeah, no question about that. Everybody tuning in right now, Matt Pignatello of 7 Train Cliché filling in for Aceman momentarily on the air. We had Brian Bassett. Great job by him of SNY.TV and the Jets blog. Gave us 30 minutes of great Jets football talk earlier on in the program. You can call in to me and Matt. Matt and I, 1-646-478-5111. And you can also aim myself at Go Talk to Quas. Have any questions about anything sports or election day related, or you can aim Matt at 7 Train Touche. I guess let's get back over to the Giants here. We was talking before, a huge win today by the Giants over the Cowboys. I mean, 7-1 now. Manning, he didn't have his best game, but Jacobs, as you mentioned, what, like six? How many yards per carry?
6.9 yards per carry,
oh,
and I mean that's 17 rushes on 117 yards. Just
I tell you what,
the Cowboys
defensive coordinator is going to be watching a lot of tape after this one.
Definitely.
I mean, Plaxico Burress finally on the field after all the suspensions and all the bad words he had for Tom Coughlin, finally back on the field. You know, he played okay, just the 3 for 34 yards. Again, the Giants' game plan was all about the running game. I mean, the rushing game in this football game. Even Ward had a pretty impressive game, 12 carries, 63 yards. Bradshaw, who comes in usually on third or fourth down, 5 carries for 20 yards. So very impressive job by the Giants. Today, Justin Tuck, he's been incredible. 2.5 sacks. And this one, 5 tackles, and really an impressive game for him. Fiegels was like Jay Feely. Jeff Fiegels, Jay Feely, both having huge days. You know, Matt, looking at the Giants and Jets football teams here, and, you know, after New York experienced its first non-postseason in baseball for like 15 years, it would be a pleasant surprise to have, well, a pleasant surprise to the Jets mostly, but to have both the Jets and the Giants in the playoffs come January and December.
Oh, yeah, definitely it is. I mean, it gives you something to look forward to. You know, I'm going to bring up the Knicks here. I was watching the Knicks game earlier tonight. Didn't look too good the last couple of nights, especially tonight. But, no, this definitely gives you something to look forward to. I mean, I thought this was going to be a long, boring off season, especially last year, too. I mean, the Giants gave me something to look forward to sports-wise. I mean, it's great that both teams are in it. I mean, the Giants 7-1, Jets are now 5-3.
Impressive.
Hopefully the Jets can do something with that wild card, maybe catch a little fire like the Giants did last year with, you know, Favre running the gun. But, I mean, this is – it's great to have – you know, New York back on the map, and, you know, it might not be baseball, but, you know, it's football, and it gives us something to do during this long, cold off season as Mets fans.
And it gives David Wright a chance to make some cameo appearances at Giants Stadium.
Definitely, and also, speaking of David Wright, Mike's cousin, actually his uncle, a couple nights ago ran into David Wright jogging on the streets of New York in Manhattan, so... What do you know?
Really? So David Wright?
Yeah. Yep, saw David Wright. Had his iPod and everything. Just, yes, it was like, he happened with last year. And Wright just, you know, responded casually, hey, guys, and then started jogging off. So.
Well, David Wright is obviously a very nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
No question about that. But, again, you know, actually, we'll get to the Mets here, and then we'll get back to, we'll talk a little Knicks, maybe we'll get a little bit of the hockey here. Rangers, very impressive job on the ice, even with the 5-2 loss on Saturday night to Toronto. Let's get over to Mets here. I mean, obviously you heard the news, Pedro Martinez filing for free agency, as well as Perez. The Mets did get Tatis back, but and of course, Mets fans got to be happy with the re-signing of Carlos Delgado. I mean, that's huge after... what he did for us. He was the MVP for the Mets this season. Outside of Santana, he was the guy. I mean, he had a rough last 2 weeks in September, but he still was the MVP of the season, no question about that. I mean, Pedro Martinez filing for free agency, is that a surprise, Matt? Or, I mean, did we kind of expect that he wouldn't be coming back? I mean, he still come back, but it seems like the Mets aren't going to re-sign him.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that. It wasn't really a shocker that he filed for free agency. I mean, you know, looking at his last starts.
Who's going to take him?
I know. I mean, he could come back to Boston maybe, but, I mean, the way that you look at his velocity, he's just dipped down. I mean, he has no zip on his fastball. Curveball's really not there. I mean, he almost has to kind of be like a finesse pitcher, like a Tom Glavine. He has to hit his spots exactly right on the mark. I mean, I guess you could maybe Boston. I mean, with Pedro and with his injuries, I mean, I don't see the Mets re-signing him. Even if they did, it would probably be for a one-year deal. But, you know, anybody else, I think Pedro is going to be it's going to be tough for him to find a place to pitch next year. I see him maybe signing a one-year deal back in the end rotation starter for whoever would be interested in him.
Ace Man, who is tuning in with the AIM here, of course, Ace Man, the other co-host on this program, says that he thinks Pedro will actually re-sign for 1 year, $6 million. So, a prediction there from Ace Man, you know, that's a possibility. I mean, but I don't know. But then you got to look at the Mets' payroll. I mean, it's pretty hefty. They're paying Willie Randolph money. He's not coming. He's obviously going to be most on the team. They're paying Billy Wagner, what, $13 million to... you know, to sit at home.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty much, well, Billy Wagner is pretty much the same situation the Knicks have with Stephon Marbury, except Wagner's not, he's not really making media stories. But,
no.
I mean, the Mets, the guy can say that payroll, the payroll is really going up, especially the Mets want to go after C.C. Sabathia or Manny Ramirez. I mean, the Mets are going to have to cut some people. That's just, is this what's going to happen here? I mean, Perez, I think, is going to be gone.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's a, well, you know, he's a Scott Boras client, so, and, you know, we saw it last year. I mean, left-handed pitchers are basically the commodity of free agency. I mean, he'll get a nice, hefty contract. So I think he'll be doing fairly well for the next couple of years.
Is Derek Lowe also a Scott Boras client, Derek Lowe?
That is a good question. I will look that up for you. I'll get back to you.
I remember reading somewhere that he might, he is, I don't know. Anyone knows? Is Derek Lowe? Because if he is, the Mets have always had a fun time dealing with Scott Boras and his clients. So, if he is,
yeah, I think anybody's a fun fan of Scott Boras and his agents.
Here's where the Aceman's bringing up. I mean, we're talking Mets hot stove, and it's pretty cold outside. But he's talking about the Mets should re-sign Ayala. I definitely agree with that. And they should also sign Baimo and K-Rod.
K-Rod,
of course.
K-Rod.
K-Rod,
who was the other guy besides K-Rod there?
Baimo. Baimo?
Oh, Baimo. Yeah, yeah. And I was talking about the lefty pitch for the Dodgers this year. But those are two good choices. I think the whole bullpen is going to be imploded. I mean, I think Joe Smith will be still back around. Feliciano, I think, will get another turnaround. Sanchez, I think, too. I think they're just waiting for him to get back into that 06 form that he is. But, I mean,
yeah.
Guys like Schoenweiss and Heilman, those guys are up for trading, and I hope they get rid of them. I mean, Bible's not a bad pick. They're going to need another lefty in there. K-Rod's going to come with a price tag, though, and I don't think the Mets are going to – I mean, K-Rod wants about, what, like 5 years – 100+ million, you know, we all saw what happened with Billy Wagner, so I don't think the Mets are gonna make the same mistake twice in giving him a Billy Wagner contract. The guy that I'm interested in seeing maybe pitch for the Mets via trade is maybe J.J. Putz of the Mariners.
J.J. Putz, Giants, yeah.
So, I mean, that's an option out there that the Mets could possibly pursue. Internal options, not really that good. I wouldn't give the ball to Koontz yet. I mean, he did give up 8 runs in the Arizona Fall League in 1 appearance, so not looking too good there. But no question, Manaea's got a lot of decision-making to do and a lot of tough decision-making to do this offseason and contracts and who to keep and who to get rid of.
No question. There is definitely something very sick to the stomach about, you know, talking about the Mets bullpen. I mean, it's almost as bad as talking about this new Knicks defense under Mike D'Antoni. I mean, they're just this free team are just going to let people get open shots down court. I mean, the Knicks new defense, tonight they're playing a little better on defense. And the offense is not showing up tonight. But, I mean, that game against the 76ers, that was an embarrassment. Now tonight, I mean, the next. Apparently, when I was doing my spiel about the Knicks, somebody from the Knicks brass happened to tune in, probably Johnny Walsh, and he or Isaiah Thomas with those sleeping pills, and they must have kicked me off the air. But yes, we are back now. Before we go to the Knicks here, of course, you got the historic election day coming up. Everybody's going to go into the polls. Mm-hmm. Matt, you're old enough to vote. I am not old enough to vote. I got to sit and watch at home with the rest of the high school kids. But you're obviously going to the ballot box. I'm not going to ask you who you're voting for, but I'm going to ask you who do you think will be the next president, the 44th president of the United States?
Ooh, putting me on the spot here.
Yeah.
Geez, man. I'm not going to tell you, like you said, I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, but...
Voting for.
I'll just say we need change. I'll leave it at that. I'll let the viewers...
Leave it at that. So we're looking at a change in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens.
It's gonna be an interesting night. I think
it'll be fun.
You know, I'm hoping it rains here so I get baseball practice camps because I plan on watching. You know, right when the coverage starts, you know, seeing all those you know blue red states pop up to see who wins those electoral votes. So I'm definitely interested in you know hoping that America makes the right decision.
Speaking of rain, you're probably hoping that your baseball practice gets suspended as opposed to postponed because of then you get a chance to experience what the Phillies and Rays did. That's four day game affair in game five. I mean it was gotta happen to anybody. It's gotta happen to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Just imagine if, you know, the Phillies were on top, it's official game, they win the World Series because of a rain out in six innings. How bad would that have looked for baseball and Bud Selig?
Yeah, it would have been pretty embarrassing, no question about that. The Phillies would have, it's hard to say this, we're going to be going, I can just imagine now that the Phillies are you know, they're going crazy over the opportunity to, when the Mets come to Philadelphia, to raise that World Series banner. And we got to sit there and watch that, and hold the trophy, the rings, the whole thing. It's kind of like that Boston-New York thing. The Red Sox want to shove in the Yankees' face. I don't know what the Phillies plan to do with that, but they got to be salivating at the moment when the Mets make their first appearance at Citizens Bank in 09.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely going to be... It's going to feel like a Yankees-Red Sox rivalry. It's going to be like that. I think the Mets want to shut up the Phillies. I know that. The Mets are sick of the Phillies with all their talking and whatnot going on. It's time for the Mets to, just shut up and play, really. David Wright came up with a quote today saying how he doesn't like them, basically, it should have been us, in their shoes, and basically just being a real professional about it. But I don't know, Quas. This team needs to just step up to the plate, really. And I'm sick of being the second team in New York and basically on the East Coast, if you will. It's time for a change, and hopefully the Mets can do it.
Now we'll see what happens going into Hostel. I guess it's going to be starting next weekend when the free agent filing and everything going on with that. There's the buzzer. I guess we'll leave it at that, Matt. The end of our program here on Sports Docket. I've got to thank Matt Pignataro, Brian Bass, everybody who tuned in on the side. Great show as always. We'll see everyone next week, same time, same place. Check out Matt's show. I guess you're going to have a program. Oh, who's coming on your show next week?
Good thing you brought that up. Zach Campbell, basically the guy's been collecting baseballs for I don't know how long. He has over 3,000 Major League Baseballs, and that'd be batting practice games, whatnot. I don't know if nobody can remember that name off top. It's the same guy who caught Damon's and Giambi's home run back-to-back consecutive nights against the White Sox. The guy was doing the dance out in the bleachers out there. And he also talked Beltran's last home run at Shea. So we'll have him on. He's also on the Tonight Show, Jay Leno. So next Sunday at 7, we'll have him on. Should be really fun to talk to him and see how we could snag some baseballs.
He's got definitely an art to it. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we'll definitely talk to him and get the secrets of it.
He also gets autographs for the balls as well.
What was that question?
He gets autographs also for the balls?
I don't know. I'll ask him that question. I'll ask him what he does about autographs and all that next week. So I'm looking forward to that. A little change from the hot stove, going, you know, a little different direction next week.
It's going to be fun. It's so 7TrainToShea, blogterio.com/7TrainToShea, 7TrainToShea.com, the whole thing. We'll see everybody next week also on the Sports Doc. Aison will be back. We'll close off for a little Chris Daughtry home.
Staring out into the night, trying to hide the pain. I'm going to the place where love and feeling good don't ever cost a thing. In the pain you feel a different kind of pain.